Welcome to another episode of When the Bell Tolls with Big Cuss. Tonight you'll listen to Matty Ice, Yawn Man, and myself break down some of the breaking news from today. And then we'll get to our main event, covering the Boneyard match from WrestleMania between AJ Styles and The Undertaker. A cinematic masterpiece. So join us after a word from my sponsors. Welcome to another episode of When the Bell Tolls with Big Cuz. Tonight I'm joined by Matty Ice. Say hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
And Yawn Man. Say hello, Brian.
Howdy.
All right, we're going to start off tonight covering the breaking news of today, where we had probably two dozen or more superstars, producers, backstage, all this released. And we'll talk some about potential of going to other companies, but unfortunately, like I was talking to Steven, I don't see too many of these guys or girls signing in other companies. They're not going to be mainstay players anywhere else.
No.
So I'll just run down the list. Like, I start off with Anderson and Gallows. We all know they're going to go back to Japan when all this is over. They were massive in Japan in the Bullet Club. They're going to go back to Japan.
Yeah,
Drake Maverick, who I'm glad they're letting him finish his NXT Cruiserweight tournament. He is getting to compete. But I think he goes back to TNA, along with a couple others on our list.
Well, TNA, and of course AEW, he's like friends of Hardy. He's friends with everybody over there too. So his possibility is for
he's
him.
Endless. Yep.
Yeah.
We have Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. Ryder is one of the interesting ones. I think he goes to AEW. He's one of three on this list that I could see going over there and making an impact.
Probably least surprised on this list because he's been like that mainstay, mid-carder, collect a check and stay home kind of guy.
He's been in the company 16 years.
And been relevant twice.
Yep, I didn't realize it had been that long. Now, Curt Hawkins has a wrestling school, so I think he's just going to do that. I mean, he didn't fight for many, many, many years, so.
Yeah, I was shocked he was in the company.
Another one that I think could go to TNA and be mid-carder is Heath Slater.
Yeah.
Or he goes to Ring of Honor. Who knows?
Or like Brian said earlier, you know, before the podcast began, he could be great on the independent scene.
Yes.
Just a lot of appearances here and there. Probably nice little paycheck.
Yeah, the next one is one that Brian used on his Fan Friday last week of stars Vince gave up on, EC3. I think he goes back to TNA.
Yeah, he's going to go back home and be like, you know what, the big time company did not use me correctly, and I want to go back to where I'm appreciated.
I mean, he could go to AEW, but they already have a guy like him in AEW, in MJF. So I don't know what benefit it would be to having two of the same gimmick.
I mean, one person on this list, I think, could go to AEW. It would be kind of a long shot, be Eric Young.
Correct. He was actually next on the list, which is where he was. And he can credit Daniel Bryan with this. He would not have been world champion without Daniel Bryan running through his thing.
True.
Very true.
And next up is Leo Rush. This is a guy who caused havoc from the moment he signed with the company, and I'm honestly shocked it took this long to release him. So I'm not sure. I think he could go to AEW and be great because he's very, very athletic, but he's got an ego about him that is just off-putting and just makes fans hate him.
Yeah, it's a huge ego.
A great honor, perhaps.
Next one on our list is one that shocked me because her husband is still employed with the company, Sarah Logan.
I mean, they just had her destroyed last night on Raw. Or Monday night, yeah.
And she could have benefited from going back to NXT.
Could have.
Next up is Aiden English. He's been doing more announcing, broadcasting.
I'm not shocked.
I'm not shocked. No, I'm not shocked, but I don't know where he can go. Maybe Ring of Honor.
Independent scene, probably best for him.
Yeah. The next two, and I'm shocked that they were even released, Primo and Epico Cologne, because they haven't been relevant or been on TV in like 3 years.
Well, didn't Epico used to be Sin Cara?
No, Hunico.
Or Hunico, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Primo and Epico have been fighting for their dad's promotion in Mexico now for over 3 years. So it's not like it was expected.
True.
Yeah, it just means they don't get a check that's signed by Vince McMahon anymore.
Pretty much. Mike and Maria Kanellis, two that I forgot, were actually still on the roster.
Well, that's no surprise because they had grievances with their contract before. I mean,
yeah, and they had just re-signed, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, and then, but they were never huge. When they came in to begin with, he then immediately left, like, the next day to go to rehab, and then she got pregnant, and it's just, they were never there.
True.
Eric Rowan, this is the one that probably shocks me the most, because Paul Heyman was huge on him.
True, they don't use him, and, that would be a good opportunity to put him in the AEW.
Correct.
Right.
Someone said Luke Harper and Brody Lee right now is just salivating.
Yeah.
And then No Way Jose, you know, the Puerto Rican Adam Rose.
Yeah.
Who will do Adam Rose's gimmick now? That is sad.
But I think he goes maybe to Mexico and does that stuff there. Or he fights in Ring of Honor or TNA. I don't think he's any AEW quality.
No.
Deonna Purrazzo, who was just like recently signed, like last 2 years, she was destroyed on Raw by Nia Jax and then released today. There was going to be many, many more NXT names coming in the next day, so which is sad. And then we have, so far, the biggest name on this list, Rusev. But I think we all anticipated happening.
Yeah, yeah, because he's been rumored to be on that for quite a while. Did you see his tweet? His tweet was like, I'm out of here, or something of that nature.
Or like, Rusev out.
Yeah, that's it. Rusev out.
He put on Instagram, it was pictures of his WrestleMania entrance with when he faced John Cena for United States Championship. He put on Instagram, he's like, I'm good, God's great, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
he's married to Lana, so he'll be fine.
I saw something that said if New Japan does not go get him, it's a colossal mistake. And I think he could do good things in Japan.
If AEW doesn't just reach out, if Cody Rhodes doesn't reach out to him and say, hey, man, what would you want to do? Like, if you gave Rusev,
but I eventually think AEW is going to get, and I think Brian can agree with me on this one, they're going to get to the point where they're going to sign so many former WWE guys that they're going to have to be extremely careful not to ruin their own homegrown talent, a lot like WCW did.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the same route. Yeah, exactly the same route as WCW.
And I think right now that's where AEW is headed, unfortunately, because they keep signing these guys.
Yeah, but I mean, think Cody has a better grasp on how the wrestling business works more than people who are involved in WCW at the time. Because WCW, from the stuff I've watched and researched, it seems like they cared more about beating Vince than anything, and they cared more about money. I don't think Cody really cares about either way.
The problem with WCW, you had the wrestling side, but the network side didn't know anything about wrestling, and Bischoff against that, which was a downside.
Yeah, because it was Ted Turner, which colossal screw up.
Well, actually, Turner no longer had control of it. It was Time Warner, and they were like, they would always give Bischoff notes and go, hey, and they say, what day are you on? And he was like, it's called Monday Night Nitro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I saw one thing earlier, too. It says right now AEW is pretty much having their hand forced that they have to put on a show every week because they don't have – live shows or house shows or a stuff to build up like Vince already has. I mean, could you imagine paying all the AEW talent and not being able to have some money flow in right now?
I think if they started a which WWE should have done a long time ago instead of signing TV contracts is get an app like the WWE Network, but put your shows on there. Put the put the weekly episodic shows on there. That way you can go into them. Don't send it out for the money like Hulu and stuff like that, like WWE does, and they cut out one half of Raw. It's a three-hour show, and it's an hour and 30, so you miss stuff that's not important.
But I hadn't even thought about that, but AEW is pretty much having their hands forced.
I mean,
that they have to in order to have some sort of revenue stream back in.
I think that's something they need to look into, is making an app charge a monthly fee, because that's free money you're getting from people. And it could be it can be $10, but not AEW, since they still charge $60 for pay-per-views, it'd probably be $15 a month.
Yeah, and I'm not paying that money to watch pay-per-view.
No, and they could put the pay-per-views on there, and that would skyrocket their viewership completely.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to run down this list of producers that are released or furloughed, and I'm thinking when all this is done, a lot of them will re-sign. So we won't talk much about these. We have stuff like Billy Kidman, Mike Rotunda, Pat Buck, Daivari, Scott Armstrong, Sarah Stock, The Hurricane, Lance Storm, Kurt Angle, Mike Chioda. Mike Chioda shocked me. He's been in the business 31 years with WWE.
I mean, Scott Armstrong is one that shocked me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, right now, all of those were furloughed or released, which essentially furloughed means we're going to bring you back when all this is done.
Right. You know, I saw a thing that these releases save the corporation $4 million a month. And that's insane.
Which is about the equivalent of a Brock Lesnar contract.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that has been our breaking news segment for our podcast tonight. And we're going to get to like our main event of the podcast, which is covering arguably, and it's been put in many words, the match of WrestleMania, which shocks me considering the people that it's in. We're going to talk about the Boneyard match between AJ Styles and The Undertaker. What was your all's honest opinion of the match?
I thought it was the best match of WrestleMania, honestly. I really enjoyed it. It was the best thing.
You know, going back and rewatching it, I got to say it was probably match of WrestleMania. Not only because of the gimmick per se, but just the creativity and the story and just how they just talked crap to each other the entire match, and it felt genuine. It didn't feel like, you know, the women's tag team matches really screamed at each other for 20 minutes and whatever. This just felt like a true rivalry. You know, the old man versus the young punk. You know, it was just really good.
Yes, and I went through and found some different things about the match that I thought were pretty cool. But I thought it was one of the top two matches for me, just because in reality it wasn't a quote-unquote match. But I loved it. From the standpoint, this is how you could do Taker Sting.
Absolutely. So,
this is how it needs to be done, because a lot of those bumps, it wasn't Taker taking them. It was a stunt double. And same thing with AJ. So I didn't know if you all knew that. A lot of those bumps weren't taken by the superstars themselves.
Well, that's what I would have figured. I mean, some of them were insane.
Yeah, that's more than Undertaker's body could have taken. I mean, some of these things happened.
So they talked about this match was filmed in Florida, but not anywhere near the Performance Center. It was... They took 8 hours to shoot this.
At night?
From 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. they recorded this.
Holy crap.
They hired a local production company out of Florida to build this, and they did it in 5 days.
That's impressive.
So, and there's stuff like the original entrance for The Undertaker was scrapped. He was supposed to, they were going to use an abandoned ditch, a bridge, and a roadside to herald his badass entrance. But I think it worked the best way they could, that now that we're dead, track was perfect for this. But they decided to actually film it like it was so they wouldn't get in hot water with the city.
True.
For having Taker come up through an embankment at AJ.
Oh, so that would have got them in trouble with the city.
Yeah, probably. So the druids that attacked Taker and came out of the barn were local talent and hired on production, but they were taught how to fight, how to take the hit like legit barroom brawl by Gallows, Anderson, Taker, and AJ. They were taught how to take those bumps on set.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was pretty cool that those four guys took their time out of their already long match to teach these guys.
I just can't believe it was filmed for 8 hours. That's the thing that's surprising to me, because it doesn't look like time changes that much within the match, but of course the power of editing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one, Matt, you talked about the promo, how they were able to talk. The idea came from Taker and Styles themselves. Originally, there was a script that was thrown out. They wanted to improvise them talking trash, and Triple H and Michael P.S. Hayes were in charge of this match, and they let the guys run with it.
Cool.
So I think that was great.
Like I said, it made it feel more genuine. It made it feel more like a two people beating the holy crap out of each other in a graveyard. I mean,
and they said nothing was off limits. They could have said whatever they wanted to say. So, and the angle where Taker puts his arm through the purse window, Taker wasn't supposed to bleed.
Well, we saw how that went.
But it was just the blood. It was not intentional. They even paused to put a bandage halfway through. They kept filming, and but liked everything they captured. So Taker, that's why he looks at his arm and just goes,
That does explain it. I mean,
and go ahead.
Because I got it in the background here. I'm watching in the background again just to get back into it. And the druids are coming out. It's just hard to believe that those are just hired people off, you know, just here, learn how to take a fight, take a bump.
Absolutely. If you had told me, hey, here's $100, go get punched by the Undertaker, I'd be right there in that black robe.
Amen, bro.
But I thought the match in general was very well put together. I loved the hearse pulling up to start with, because I thought, oh, cool, it's Taker. And then we got sort of like a Bray Wyatt-esque when he got out the casket and the druids, and it was AJ Styles.
Yeah, that threw me off. When I first watched it, I was like, that's interesting when you get Undertaker out here. And then it comes open and AJ Styles is like, what's it up? It's like, oh, well, all right.
And then you get the, I can hear him. I can hear the old man. I thought that was so cool that he brought back a reinvented version of the American Badass. And he talked about in the match that the Holy Trinity was going to come down on AJ Styles. He said in an interview this week that that was the American Badass, the Dead Man, and genuine Mark Calloway was the Unholy Trinity.
Oh, wow.
He said that is the biggest portrayal of him as an actual human that he's ever done. So said a lot of that wasn't like gimmick. That was him.
So this is just if Mark Calloway was like beating up someone in the graveyard.
Pretty much.
That's scary.
And that's what got the American Badass over to begin with, because it was who Mark Calloway was. It wasn't the Undertaker. It was legit Mark Calloway, the guy who loved Harleys, loved this stuff.
You know, would the American Badass gimmick work the entire time, say him going back to the Dead Man?
No. If he had debuted as the American Badass, it would never have worked.
Yeah, because back when he debuted, it was still the superhero age, per se. You know, the ultimate hate face and heels, and he was a heel. Realistic characters didn't catch at all.
No.
I got you. I just mean, like, I guess the Ruthless Aggression era and forward, I guess, is
the dead man. The dead man would not have worked during that time period.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I know that. I'm just wondering if, like, if he never went back and became the dead man after that.
I think his career would have been a whole lot shorter.
Yeah.
It would have ended well before WrestleMania 20 when he came back.
Okay. So what about the spot where AJ says he breaks his damn hand? Does he actually do that, or is that just him?
I could not find anything on that, but AJ Styles has been mentioned on Raw since then, and all that, but never made another appearance. I mean, it's
he wasn't cut.
No, he wasn't cut, but I wouldn't be shocked if he actually broke his hand.
I mean, he was buried, so I mean, I don't think they want to like. Bring him back too soon.
No, I think he comes back, but it'll be later on. Maybe the Royal Rumble gives him time. It gives him about 8 months off. And it would have pretty much the same pop as when he debuted.
Yeah, especially with his crew gone. I mean, they have nothing for him now.
No. But I thought the Gallows and Anderson were perfect for this match, too. And I was honestly shocked Taker didn't have anybody show up for him. I was expecting maybe a Kane appearance, something like that, but I think it worked better having Taker by himself.
I think Kane would have showed up if it wasn't for everything going on.
True.
Yeah, Florida was on lockdown. You know, it still is. You know, like,
yes.
No one can get in or out of the state.
And because, you know, Glenn Jacobs is mayor and he can't just, yeah. Right now, it's not a good time to leave Knoxville.
No, that'd be a bad look on him going forward.
Yeah.
I want to know what this match would have been like had this stuff not come about. Would it have been an actual in-ring match, or would it have been a buried alive match?
You know, that's...
Because I can't see him showing this on a screen in the huge stadium.
I think it would have been a match itself in the arena.
Yeah, it would have been a variable... I'm picturing, you know, let's go old school. Picturing a scaffold buried alive match. Taker's big butt up there trying not to fall off the scaffold. I mean,
God, that would be terrible. But I can't envision these two in an actual match because, and I said it when the Super Showdown happened, when Taker came out and won the two-way mountain trophy or whatever, beating AJ. I said, you have X amount of months to convince me that AJ will beat Taker. You could convince me that Brock and Roman Reigns could beat Taker. You couldn't convince me AJ Styles could beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
No, that'd be like, you know, back in the day, pitting Chris Jericho against him.
Yeah, would not have worked. And I think this, as an actual match, would have been a terrible match. But this worked... You went from possibly the worst match of the night, had it been an actual match, to probably the match of the year. So there was that big jump.
I mean, it might be match, like, gimmick match of the year, because at least there was a match. But match of the year, that's going to be kind of tough.
I mean, at least there was some actual violence in this match and actually hitting, unlike the Firefly and Funhouse.
Right, but I mean, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, I think both of these, without this virus, we would have seen neither one of these matches, and neither one of them would have had the impact on WrestleMania that they did.
No, because
true,
I haven't seen anyone talk about the Last Man Standing match. I've only seen people still talk about the Boneyard match, and mostly the Firehouse match, whatever it's called, whatever. I'm done talking about that, but I'm talking tired.
But I'm envisioning, like, if that had been an actual match, at some point there would have been a bouncy castle involved. So. But they would talk about the, and I thought it was cool that they didn't officially bury AJ at the end. When his hand was popping up through the end, it was an homage to Taker and buried alive.
Which is what you said.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Triple H and Michael P.S. Hayes had spotted a prop fake hand on set somewhere and thought, hey, that'd be cool. and Taker thought it was a awesome thing. So they went and found the phony prop hand hours before the shot. So and it was said that Taker himself thought it was a nod to his past as WrestleMania 36 went off air. Because that was the last shot you saw that night, besides Taker riding off, was that hand sticking up. But I think it's pretty cool. And you look, when Taker came back, he was a legit badass after that. It was huge. And I think AJ could have the same power.
He could.
So, we'll all see. So, if you all could give this a rating out of 5, what would it be?
I'm going to say 4.5. I really enjoyed it. It was
now are we doing like Dave Meltzer kind of 5-star rating? Or
yeah, go Dave Meltzer.
Well, I mean, star. I don't think what Dave Meltzer gave us a very good rating. I don't believe. But to me, I'm kind of with Yon Man. 4.5 stars. I mean, I just rewatched it, and I was still entertained the entire way through. And not a lot of matches will do that when you go back and rewatch them. So,
true.
4.5, definitely.
I'm with you all there, right there. It's not a 5-star match because in reality, it was a brawl, not a match. But at the same time, I'm right there with you. I was highly entertained the whole way because we had no clue what a Boneyard match was. But I think this not only it elevated AJ. Unlike anybody else that's been in the ring with Taker in the last 10 years.
True.
This match will have elevated AJ because he was able to stand toe-to-toe with the Sheriff of WWE for the last 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's been... Like you said, he's... Yeah.
He is WWE. I mean,
he is. He is the face. And that's why it irks me every single time someone calls Shawn Michaels Mr. WrestleMania. Taker has now competed at 27 of the 36 WrestleManias. He missed the first 7 because he wasn't in the company.
True.
And he missed WrestleMania 2000 because he blew his bicep out rehabbing. So, I mean, and he missed last year.
Yeah, that's true.
But 27 years you competed at the biggest show of the year. You deserve the title of Mr. WrestleMania, not Shawn Michaels.
Eh, but Shawn does like to lose at WrestleMania.
Yes, he does. I've never met anyone called Mr. Anything and lose so much.
Hey, Charlotte's calling herself Miss WrestleMania now.
It would be like the Buffalo Bills calling themselves
Did you notice
Super
that?
Bowl. Yeah. But it would be like the Bills calling themselves Mr. Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's funny.
So is just random. This has nothing to do with the Boneyard match, but is Gronk still the 24/7 champ?
Correct. He is.
But he hasn't been mentioned, so maybe the title will disappear like Abyss and the TV title for DNA.
Well, Gronk is under contract. So
he is. I know it's at least for 2 years.
I'm honestly shocked Mojo was not amongst the releases today. I mean, but
he's another one of those that's going to sit at home and collect a check.
There's been rumors that Kairi Sane's going to be released. There's been rumors that the Viking Raiders are going to be released, which baffles me.
I read that right before here that they haven't finished announcing the releases. So
no. Yeah. And I've seen maybe Nakamura. If they release Nakamura, he will be a main event star in AEW because he doesn't want to go back to Japan.
So, from the things I'm seeing, I haven't seen a Dave Meltzer rating. I don't know if he didn't rate this match or whatever, but a lot of people are saying this match will live in history.
It will. I think this match will inspire future stars a lot like Savage Steamboat from WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, because yeah. I remember saying that one thing on our group chat, like, pick whichever WrestleMania match you keep. And I think I was the only one to pick that kept the Steamboat one.
Yeah. So this match will live on in history because you were entertained. There wasn't a crowd. This was just, there wasn't a ref. This was just two dudes beating the crap out of each other.
Right.
And I didn't care that it went on for like 25 minutes, 30 minutes.
It didn't seem like it.
No, because I was thoroughly entertained. And I will give this, and I said this originally, Matt Hardy deserves incredible props for this match. Because without his work in TNA as Broken Matt Hardy in the Hardy compound, we would not have matches like the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse match.
No. Hopefully these are not ever remade.
No, and that's what I think CM Punk talked about it. He said, do not water down this. You don't need one every year. He goes, make it a specialty match. Because I think there's been three Hardy compound matches, maybe. One with a tag team. One with him and Jeff when he threw Jeff into the lake of reincarnation. And then one with Bray and Matt. I think that's all, right?
Yeah, but you have one coming up, too, with Jericho. Wow.
Yeah.
So, which that should be good because Jericho, you know, he's all about crazy gimmicks anymore.
Oh, this is going to be crazy. I am looking forward to that, actually. That'd be, I forgot so which deletion they're calling that, though.
So this is on my, it's on one of the podcast lists that I have to do in the future is Matt Hardy's impact on the wrestling business. And I think it is unfathomable. A lot, he and Bully Ray, to me, have a massive impact on the business without ever really being main event stars.
Yeah, true. I mean,
so we're going to wrap up tonight's podcast. You gentlemen have any final words?
If you're having a bad day, just realize that you're making it through because you're not the man that won a trip to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final in Price is Right.
That's awesome.
You got any final words, Brian?
Not tonight. I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining me, and I will see you all down the road.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight to another episode of When the Bell Tolls with Big Cuz. We broke down the breaking news today of the future of so many superstars and backstage talent and producers that have been wished future endeavors today by WWE. We broke down the Boneyard match, arguably the match of WrestleMania. So I hope you have thoroughly enjoyed our podcast. And I want to thank you all for the amazing support you have shown to this podcast. We are now international, and it is an incredible thing. So thank you so much. And remember, when the bell tolls, the match is over.